the whole is blue.
Yes, sir.
Watch the watch.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Well, praise be unto the Lord. Get your Bibles and turn them, if you will, to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 2. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, now as we enter your word, we pray that your Spirit will guide us into all truth. Minister to us right where we are. Bring understanding and revelation to us that we might practice these principles for profit and give you all praise. We thank you in advance for what you shall do because of your word, your spirit, and the people's faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words: if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. As Paul writes the church at Philippi, he reminds them of what is real, what is refreshing and reassuring, what is everlasting, and what is evidently beneficial for the body. He shares with them and talks of the examples that Christ himself has shown and demonstrated for us, and how we who have been a recipient of the love of Christ Jesus ought to be an extension of the love of Christ Jesus to others. Now, my brothers and sisters, it's always more difficult many times when we reach a place of comfort and we are in a place where we are all right with us, that it seems many times we are asked to move ourselves from our place of comfort, especially in the light of others' discomfort, so that we could experience a similar comfort. By that I mean, even in your place of comfort and blessings, when there is a need, there are sacrifices, there are times when you must leave that place of comfort
and that place of peace in terms of your being relaxed to do what is necessary to help others who are discomforted to become comforted. Whether it's in the spiritual realm, the physical realm, the financial realm, the emotional realm, or whatever the case is, when God assigns you to a brother or sister in a situation, He wants you to minister to them out of the same spirit that Christ ministered to you. Now listen at this, because it's important. So oftentimes we forget that we're blessed to be a blessing. So oftentimes we forget that we are God's hands, we are His feet, we are His eyes, we are His mouth, we are His servants. And so oftentimes, because we have been given a place of blessings, we forget that it is also our responsibility to be what God needs us to be whenever He needs us to be there. If we are resources and reservoirs, you got to know that it is for a reserved period. And so when God gives you surplus, it's not always for self. Surplus is usually the overrun. It's the extra, it's the lanyard, it's more than you need. So if you have that, then obviously it is because God sees something up ahead so that you will be able to, and hearing as an obedient servant the voice of the Lord, ready to respond the way the Lord would have you to in any situation. One of the things I've discovered, God won't ask you to do what you can't do, or He doesn't give you power and ability to do. And when you know this, you will know that one of the reasons why God hadn't assigned you some of the assignments He's assigned other folk is because He knows you can't handle them. Or He knows He has not equipped you for that assignment, but He has equipped you for some assignment. And when you begin to understand and look in this word, you're going to see that Christ is the example of all of the things that we should do and all of the things that we should be and all of the things that we should share and how we should do them. Christ is our example. Look again, He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, look at what He says, fulfill ye my joy. Now, here is a man who has had a personal encounter with the Lord and has been changed and transformed. His mind, his thinking, his actions, his activities, his ambitions, his attitude, all of these things because he had an encounter with Christ Jesus. Having been changed and having known what this experience has done to him, has done for him, he recognized that God did that so that God could use him to reach others. Now, he's one who refers to himself as the chief of sinners. In other words, as the lowest of the low. Not that he was that in reality or entirety, but when he viewed himself not against man, but against God, he recognized how unworthy he was to be used of God. But yet God, being so willingly through Christ Jesus to use him, humbled him in such a way that he was able to adapt and adopt the spirit of Christ and humbled himself as a servant who was willing to serve to the glory of God. Now he's saying, because he is already a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in this kind of ministry to the brethren, to the body, listen, if you want to experience the joy that I have and to fulfill my joy, one of the reasons he says fulfill his joy is because those to whom he's now ministering are byproducts of his own ministry. In other words, it's through the gospel he has preached who has saved other folk, and other folk through his ministry has preached or have preached and ministered and have saved other folk. All of those are byproducts of what God birthed in him. Now, here's what he recognizes, just like a parent. Even though a parent gives birth to a child and rears him and so forth, and the essence of that parent parent is in that child. The reality is that the parent doesn't get the full joy until they see that child grow up, mature, and become productive to his or her best and fullest terms. And so this is pretty much what he's talking about. He's saying, listen, you and my babies in the Lord, but I want you to grow up and show me something. I really want you to be better than I am. I really want you to fulfill my joy in knowing that you are doing what you've been birthed and born into the body of Christ to do. Now notice here he says that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Now that's literally meaning to minister out of the agape love.
Yeah.
The same love. Because God's work would go undone if he had to use our love to work it. And our love is too different from each other's love to be the love that could be one. So it has to be the ultimate and the supreme love, which brings about the supreme example and the supreme power. And it is God's love, or the God kind of love. So he says, if we're really going to be a blessing to the body of Christ, we're going to first, number one, know and experience the love of God like that. But then secondly, we're going to have to minister out of a love like that. It is out of that one love, that love that looks beyond self, that love that sees a brother or sister underneath the skin and not just stop at the surface. The kind of love that God loves us with is the kind of love, he says, of the same kind of love. Then he says, being of one accord. Because this is necessary here, because when we are of one accord with the love of God, it brings us into unity, which means that we are more able and capable of doing much more for the kingdom if we are unified and not one person doing this, another person doing that, another one, and nobody knows what other persons are doing. We're duplicating things in one area where a whole other area is going undone because we're not even communicating or unified on the same fullness of accord. And so here he's talking about being unified together. It's one thing to have love and then the love be scattered. Bring it together, work it out, deal with what God wants us to deal with, and from that be unified in terms of whatever plan or process it is that we use to exemplify the love of Christ. Notice what he says, of one mind, which means it can't be your mind. And you know, we need to save our little mind. We always giving people a piece of our mind. You gonna keep on with that piece of my mind, till you gonna be mindless. The one mind that he's speaking of is the mind of Christ. Listen, you only know pieces and parts of the puzzle, and that is limited to your own fractured perspective. Now, if you recognize that you don't know it all, don't act like you know it all. If you recognize that you can't make a complete, full judgment of a situation, don't try and judge the situation. Only God has all of that information, that insight, understanding the motives underneath the skin. And so the reality is, if we really want to be productive to the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ and be examples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to enact, we need to utilize the mind of Christ Jesus. He walked on planet Earth. He understands the structure. He has organized and set up the structure. He has dealt with the structure. He's still even in heaven dealing with it. So if anybody knows all there is to know about it, it's him. And then he gave us his word so that we will know that he knows all about it. And it is his mind, and you find his mind revealed in his word. And his word again reveals his will, which is again his mind. And then it also reveals his way. So if this is the case, we need to follow the mind of Christ because he knows what's best. How many times have you thought you knew the answer, thought you had it all figured out, and it was wrong? I know all the hands don't want to go up. I know, I understand. But here's what you've got to realize. Christ don't have to hit it and miss it. I mean, when he says it, it is what he says, whether it looks like it or not. And here's what you've got to also understand. His word is so powerful that whatever he speaks will come to pass. Because his spirit is always seeking to perform what he says. And so he cannot lie, because whatever he say will come to pass. His zeal performs it. His spirit performs it. So everything there is for us to know about, everything there is God wants us to know, we find it in His word, and He has given us a basic understanding of it, and His spirit continues to bring it to full fruition in our hearts and in our thoughts. And so therefore the mind that we ought to operate in ought to be the mind of Christ. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done, nothing be done in strife or vain. Don't have no attitude about the stuff you do. And you're doing it with the wrong motives. And you're doing it with ulterior motives. And you're doing it because you got a plan. Or you're hoping that if you do this, you'll be seen. Or what he said, listen, don't let nothing be done with strife or with vain glory. Now, you see, a whole lot of us do some stuff. You've heard the saying, you cut your nose to spite your face. Some folk will hurt themselves in order to hurt somebody else. Some folk will be mean and suffer just to make sure somebody else suffers. How silly. Just because you don't want to have the mind of Christ, show the love of Christ, operate in the things of Christ, you would rather hurt yourself with an attitude, with an ugly disposition, in order to hurt somebody. Think about it in your own life. We've all done it. At some point in time in our lives, we have done or without or gone without because we know if we would get, somebody else would get. I mean, we've hurt ourselves in many ways because we didn't want somebody else to get blessed. And then on the other hand, we've done some things to be seen. We've done some things to get recognition. We've done some things so people could see us do them, so our names could be spotlighted and highlighted. Vain glory. See, because the real glory you get comes not when men see you, but when God sees that what you're doing is from the heart and for Him. And in knowing this, it don't matter whether the cameras catch you or not. It doesn't matter if your people see you or not. It doesn't matter if somebody pats you on the back or not. If you do what you do because God is leading you and God's going to get the glory, you know you're going to get the good. So you don't need vain glory from folk who don't matter no how. Ain't no sense in you trying to impress folk who can't bless. The same folk who pick you up on the one hand and put you down on the other hand. What you trying to impress folk who might not even like you? So don't do it for vain glory. Look at what he goes on to say. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, you know, it takes something for you to humble yourself and esteem someone else above yourself. Because you know we think we thebomb.com. You know, it's all about us. Ain't about you, boo. It's about me. And you know that's the way most of us feel. You know, we talk about, you know, self-preservation is the first law of nature and all of this kind of stuff. And while there's some truth to some of that, here's the difference between the mind of Christ and the mind of men. Jesus said, if a man will save his life, he'll lose it. Now that's man's rendition of how to save life. I'm gonna save my own life first. I'm gonna do what I need to do to take care of me and mine first. That's our concept of taking care of us. But look at what Jesus said. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Totally against the concept of man's thinking. Different from his mindset. He don't know with Christ it works diametrically opposite than what it works for with man. See, with him, you get more by giving more. With man, you get more by stacking and saving and storing up. So far from the truth. And we don't understand that what God wants for us many times far exceed what we want for ourselves. But we think when we give in to him and go to him that we lose what we got, when all he's really trying to do is position us to get more than what we've got. And so to humble yourself and to lift somebody else up, listen at this. In man's mind is belittling oneself. But Jesus says, if you really want to be great, you're going to have to learn how to humble yourself. His disciples had an issue with that one day, and Jesus was like, man, they're really missing this. Jesus went in the back and got him a pan of water. Took his towel and got down on his knees and said, okay, brothers, take your sandals off. And he took his towel and dipped it into the wash bowl and started washing the brothers' feet. And they're like, what is he doing? And he kept on washing and it got to Peter. And he said, come on, Peter, take off your shoes. Peter said, oh, no, Lord. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not going to have the Lord to wash my dirty feet. Now, I don't know what's wrong with these other brothers. I know they tripping, because how you going to have the Lord wash your feet? His mindset was totally different. His concept was totally different. He didn't understand. Jesus told him, say, Peter, look, if you don't understand this issue here, if I can't wash your feet, you don't have no part with me. In other words, what I'm trying to help you understand, Peter, is until you can humble yourself and be willing to wash somebody else's feet rather than have somebody else wash your feet, you don't have no part with me. Peter said, oh, if it like that, wash my feet, my head, my body, just wash me all over. I wish I had somebody. In other words, if I am to be what you want me to be, it means that I've got to humble myself to the status of a servant, because you see servants as great folk who are not so caught up on themselves that they can be used to be what you want them to be, to go where you want them to go, to do what you want them to do without having issues. And all you got to do is be willing to be available for God to use. And you'll watch God bring you in some places you've never been before. You'll watch God bring you into contact with people you've never been in contact before. All you got to do is be willing to say, Lord, use me for your glory. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want you to do what you want. And you will see God do some things you and all that you've accomplished will never bring you into that arena as that of a servant. And so Jesus says to him and to all of us that if we're going to be great, we're going to have to humble ourselves and serve the jobs that nobody really wants to do. See, everybody like the nice, cushy, comfortable jobs in the comfortable place. But there are some things that nobody wants to do that he wants you to be the first volunteer for. And listen at this, because when we, again, look at this word now, in lowliness of mind, the word says, let each esteem other better than ourselves. You got to get to the point where if there's a brother or sister, you say, look, let me do it, brother. I don't mind doing it. When you esteem them higher than yourself, you don't say, well, look, he ranked lower than me. He ought to be doing this. No, the greaterness, or the greatness, rather, in you is a greater reality than you see in yourself, but rather God seeing you and you humbling yourself to do what he's unctioning you to do. Look at what he says. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Don't get caught up in your own selfish interests and images of the things that you think you are and the things that you have and the things that concern you only. Because nobody, no man is an island unto himself. Don't get so caught up on the fact that you have or you're in the position of being blessed right now that you're not concerned about your brother, your sister who may be going through something now. Look at what he says. Look not every man on his own things. You know, I've shared so many stories with so many people these last few weeks about the difficulties of sacrificing, about the difficulties of things that they've had to do in order to accommodate those who have gone through so many difficult things. And what is clear is that everybody who's involved or helping or being helped is going through. Whether you are an evacuee or whether you are housing an evacuee, everybody is going through. And right now it's difficult because sometimes if we keep our minds on our own things, then it's difficult for us to recognize that the things that we have are a part of the ministry God has blessed us with to minister love and life and liberty to the others who are going through more than you. But when you get hung up on your stuff, you know, because when it was just you and, you know, whomever, or just, that's right, just you and you, that stuff ain't been touched. But now that your capacity has double, tripled, or quadrupled, or even more, now you got stuff that ain't been used, that's meant to be used, that's being used for the purpose it was designed to be used. And you complaining. Well, what are lights for but to be burned? What is air for but to cool? What is food there for but to eat? What is soap for? Thank God you got it to use. You got to recognize, you can't get hung up on your stuff, because I got news for you. The stuff that's being used is being used by the children of God. And the God who sees you helping his children will bless you with better stuff than you got. So if your little stuff gets messed up, he's just trying to help you understand he's going to replace it with some better stuff. Get off the stuff. I know if you knew it, you'd have went and got your couches with the, you know, the old saints used to cover their covers, their couches with plastic and all. Lord, if I seen it come out and went covering my couch with plastic, I'd have got my stuff ready. Every time you look at it, everybody just leaning on, lying on my couch. And you go around and they can't smile because you look at my stuff. Don't worry about the stuff. And like, man, every time you look around, they cooking. Just eating. They just. Here's the blessing. You got something there to cook. And God can't give you more till you use what you got. I know folk get on your nerve, but listen, take those nerves and cast them to the Lord, because I got news for you. You might be getting on their nerves. I know it's your house. I know it's your stuff. You ain't got to tell me. This ain't my address. I know it's your address. Listen, but I'm just trying to get some sense of normalcy for me. This too? Oh, hallelujah. Just hang on for that moment there. Because I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I don't care what, I'm talking to those who are housing my brothers and sisters who have been affected greater than we. I got news for you. I promise you that you'd rather be the one housing than to have the situation turned around. Because I got news for you. You find out about your kinfolk in times like these. You find out about your so-called friends in times like these. You find out who's